Hi, this is your host, Michael Britt. Thanks to you, The Psych Files has become incredibly popular. Thousands of episodes are downloaded every day by students looking for help on their tests, professionals preparing for exams, and lifelong learners who just enjoy hearing about psychology. Now, this success is great, but it's expensive, and I really need your help to keep the podcast going. Check out the website at thepsychfiles.com and become a patron. For the price of a cup of coffee or a slice of pizza, you can keep the show going. And if you enjoy the show, it has helped you with your tests, then please lend a hand. Click on the Patreon logo on the Psych Files website. Become a patron and keep your show going and growing. Thanks so much. Well, hello everyone, and welcome to episode 5 of the Psych Files. This episode entitled On Defense of Defense Mechanisms, with a subtitle of On Not Throwing Freud Out with the Bathwater. Now, that's something I used to say to my students, that expression I don't know if many of them were even familiar with, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I used to open any kind of discussion of Freud with that expression because I think that a lot of people come to psychology, probably have heard of Freud, and they may have heard of Pavlov. So those are two names. That's about it, really. And what people think of when they think of Freud is typically just sex, and they think that he was some crazy psychologist, which, of course, he was not. But in any case, they think of him as sort of a sex-crazed or at least sex-obsessed nut, and that everything he said has to do with sex, and that pretty much he's dismissible. And that's really unfortunate, and that is what I mean by not throwing him out with the bathwater, because I think that to dismiss him so offhandedly is to dismiss all that he brought to our field, things that we talk about today that have become part of our language, the Freudian slip, for example, the discussions about dreams and the meanings of dreams. I know that's somewhat controversial, but most people do believe that dreams have some window to the soul. They hold some secrets, perhaps, to understanding the things that are bothering us. So there is so much of his legacy that is alive today that is important to look at. And if the idea of penis envy sounds ridiculous to you, well, then it sounds ridiculous to a lot of psychologists. And yes, not many people put much faith in that idea. But again, to focus on that, and maybe that's just part of our society, to focus on the sexual aspects of just about anything, to focus on that and then to just say, well, you dismiss him is criminal, crazy, unfortunate, at the very least. There was a time when astronomers thought that the planets and the sun revolved around the Earth. And of course, we know that it was Galileo who changed that thinking. So they were wrong. They weren't wrong about everything. Would you dismiss everything that astronomers thought, all the techniques they had developed, because they were wrong about that one thing? Hopefully you wouldn't. So what I wanted to do was to talk about today what I think is one of the most powerful ideas that Freud developed along with his daughter Anna Freud. And I've got some examples to help you to see these defense mechanisms as they express themselves in daily life. So let's then move into these really fascinating area of defense mechanisms. Now, you probably know that part of Freud's theory had to do with the superego, the ego, and the id. So, very briefly, of course, the superego is the part of you that tells you that what you're doing is right or wrong. That's the what you should do, the superego. The id is the emotional, immature part of yourself that has all the wants and needs. Between these two forces, these two opposing forces, is the ego, the what we think of as the personality, the part of yourself that tries to strike a balance between what you feel and how you think you should feel. So there's usually a conflict inside of us between those two forces. And it is the ego, the self, that tries to resolve that conflict. If the conflict can't be easily resolved, then generates anxiety and uncertainty. And we deal with that sometimes quite honestly by looking within ourselves and acknowledging that we have feelings that maybe we're just uncomfortable with. But we can live with that. We can understand ourselves as being just human beings, and sometimes we have feelings that we're just not happy that we have them, but they're there. But other times we can't deal with these. Either they may be anything. Yes, they may be sexual feelings, but it may be like anger, You may feel angry at someone that you love. You may not like to think that you are angry at that person. You may think that it's wrong to be angry. Maybe you feel that it's wrong to be angry at your mother, your father, or you may be angry at your children, and or you may be attracted to someone that you feel you shouldn't be. So there are all kinds of feelings you have inside yourself. You're not sure if you should have them. It causes you to be a bit anxious. And if you can't deal with it, sometimes we deflect or we avoid that anxiety feeling by using defense mechanisms. These are ways to sort of shun or put off uncomfortable feelings. I just want to talk a little bit about some of them, then give you some examples, and then do a little test, which I won't call a test. I'm going to call it, what do you think? I like that. It's a little less threatening. And I'll give you some examples and see if you can figure out which one of the defense mechanisms is at work here in our daily lives. A few of them that I think you probably know. The first one is denial, right? This is when you refuse to admit something that is just unpleasant and that you refuse to have that feeling. Right? You don't feel that you should feel that way, and so you deny feeling that way. Let me just give you an example of denial. 16-year-old Tom had started using drugs, and the changes in his behavior made it pretty obvious. But Tom's parents didn't believe the principal when she called to talk with them about Tom's drug problems. So in this case, the parents are denying that their child has a drug problem. Again, here's a situation where the parents simply don't want to believe something about their child. Okay, so denial is the first one. It's with denial and repression, which we'll get to in a second, that some people have trouble with Freudian theory because there can be a bit of circularity about Freudian thinking. If you say to someone, "Boy, you must be really angry about that," and the person says, "No, I'm not angry." Your response, because you're sort of an amateur Freudian, is to say, well, there you go. You must be angry because you just denied it. That is a little bit problematic, and this is why, you know, a lot of people don't like Freud because his ideas are mushy, and they can be easily perverted, I guess is a good word, or easily distorted, maybe is a better one. We'll stay out of the sexual references. Can people simply not have the feeling that you suggest that they have? So either you or a therapist might suggest that somebody else is angry. If they say that they're not, either they aren't, or it is possible that they are angry and they're denying it. So it's hard to know which one is the right one. And sometimes people do deny the feelings that it's suggested to them they do have. Some years back, I had a supervisor who was Freudian trained, and she mentioned a way that you can usually tell when someone actually is in denial. The way you can tell is that when someone denies something, the pitch of their voice raises somewhat. So, for example, if you're talking to someone about their childhood, and let's say it was difficult in some ways, and you suggest that perhaps they're still angry about that part of their life, and they say that, no, they're not angry, it's quite possible that they're not, that they have already dealt with this. It's no longer an issue. But if someone says, no, I'm not angry, that seizing of the vocal track there suggests that something is being held back. Closely related to denial is repression. Repression is a little bit deeper than denial. In denial, you may be able to talk about what the feeling is. You may be able to suggest that you don't feel that way. But in repression, you have no memory of the event. There was something traumatic in your childhood, so painful that you have repressed it. Now, this became a hot issue, I believe, in the 90s, because some therapists were sort of leaping on this and actually suggesting that people had repressed memories. Perhaps you remember the whole repressed memory debate some years ago was a big issue. My memory of the event is that some therapists who were perhaps traumatized themselves began to suggest to patients that they were in fact abused, but they had repressed it. And after pursuing this with the patient, they were able to, what they believed, bring up these repressed memories of abuse at the hands of their parents. That may, in fact, be what happened. On the other hand, this is a very difficult thing to really tease out whether or not it happened or not, because as other psychologists pointed out, Elizabeth Loftus being one of them, who's done a great deal of research on memory, memories are strange things, and if we suggest to people that certain things happened when they're in a vulnerable state, they can create those memories. They can begin to remember things which really didn't happen. So this was very controversial, and it's unfortunate. It obviously reflected poorly on the psychological profession. And it is yet another thing about the whole Freudian approach, which makes people upset. And it's unfortunate. Other kinds of defense mechanisms, an easy one perhaps, is rationalization, which is the old sour grapes kind of thing. Rationalization is simply when you try to intellectualize. There's something in your life that was a bit painful, and you explain it by talking about it, and you bring it into the realm of thought and, as I say, intellectualizing. And by doing this, you keep it out of you experiencing it. Here's a rationalization. After Carla rejected him, Phil told his friends that he didn't think she was very attractive and interesting, and that he really wasn't all that crazy about her. That would be a rationalization, right? I mean, he really did like her, and he was rejected, and it was painful, and it's hard for him to deal with. So what does he do? He says, well, I wasn't really that interested in her after all. So it's sour grapes, and that's a referral to the Aesop fable. Displacement is another common kind of defense mechanism. This is the old yell at your dog defense mechanism. This is where you get angry at someone and you feel like you really shouldn't be angry. Usually it has to do with anger, but it can do with other feelings. So you feel like you really shouldn't be angry, or you can't express the anger. Perhaps you're angry at a parent, you're angry at your boss, and so you come home and you take out that anger on, could be your dog, could be other people in your family. So you are displacing your feelings. And here's a good one. Mark slams the door to the classroom after failing the exam. So taking your anger out also on objects in your life would be another example of displacement. Okay, we have just two more. Okay, reaction formation is interesting because here's a situation where you don't feel comfortable with your feelings. To deal with that, you compensate by acting in a way that is opposite of what you really feel. So if you, here's a good one. John has a lot of unconscious hostility toward his father. Obviously, that makes him feel uncomfortable, but he acts in a very affectionate way and tells other people that he and his father have a wonderful relationship. That would be what Freud would call reaction formation. So you can't deal with the fact that you have a negative relationship, and so you overcompensate, and you're very, very nice to someone who you actually don't have very positive feelings about at all. The final one I want to talk about is regression, and you probably know what this one is. We say that someone's regressing, means they're moving backwards to a earlier time in life. And an example of regression might be a new baby comes into the house, and the toddler, who's maybe 2 or 3, starts to suck his or her thumb. So we say that that child is regressing, right? The child has some difficult feelings. They're anxious about the new situation. And so they go back to a period of time in life when they are more comfortable, at least felt more reassured. Okay, here we go. This is our what do you think section. Here is the defense mechanism, and you tell me which one it is. I'll give you two options. One of those is it. Okay, here we go. Number one, Bill said that the reason he flunked out of college was because of the poor quality of the teaching. Which defense mechanism is that? All right, here's a hint. It's either denial or rationalization. Bill said the reason he flunked out of college was because of the poor quality of the teaching. And the answer is rationalization, right? So he's rationalizing his failure by blaming the institution. Let's see how you can do with this one. Mary was homesick and anxious when she moved into the dormitory and started her first year of college. So she began to sleep with her favorite teddy bear again. That would be regression. All right. Now here's an interesting one. The first sign of illness, Gail's husband went to bed and stayed there. If you've ever been accused of being a big baby when you get sick, but that would be perhaps an example of regression. If when people are upset, they curl up on the couch, you know, sort of getting into that fetal position, that's another example of regression. Nothing particularly wrong about any of this. It's just a coping mechanism, someone might call that. All right, let's take another one. Many people who were held in concentration camps were unable to recall events that happened to them during their internment. What do you think? Okay, the hint here, again, it's people who were held in concentration camps were unable to recall events that happened to them. That's either repression or denial. And the answer here would be repression. Okay, you can understand how people might repress memories of what they experienced while in a concentration camp. All right, finally, after her new baby brother came home from the hospital, the parents discovered Cheryl had dismembered her favorite doll. What do you think? That's either displacement or regression. And I'll repeat the sentence again. After her new baby brother came home from the hospital, the parents discovered Cheryl had dismembered her favorite doll. Displacement or regression? Now, that sounds a bit like regression, but dismembering your favorite doll is probably closer to displacement. All right, well, I hope you found this interesting. Again, my goal here was get you to be one of those people who does not throw Freud out the window. Defense mechanisms are easily one of his contributions to psychology that many, many people, despite whatever orientation they may have in their psychological practice, give some credence to the defense mechanisms. I'm going to end this episode with a quote from Freud, which I kind of like, and here it is, quote, "No one who, like me, conjures up the most evil of those half-tamed demons that inhabit the human breast and seeks to wrestle with them can expect to come through the struggle unscathed." I've got another one. I don't think he said it, but it sort of wraps up this one here, which is that no one escapes childhood alive. I'll just leave you to think about both of those. I think they're interesting quotes. All right, well, I hope you found this episode interesting, and join us again on the next episode of The Psych Files. And this is Michael Britt. Thank you for listening, and talk to you again next time. And once again, a reminder about the Patreon campaign. If you enjoy the show, or it has helped you on your exams, please help me to keep it going. A small donation per month will keep The Psych Files going, and we can do more. So give just a little bit and become a part of the show. Thanks.